Stand together as we sing out Joy to the World, starting off our Christmas program today, lifting praise to our God. Let's sing it out together.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare in room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy.
Singing, you can be seated.
Good morning and welcome to Christmas at FBC Wixom. Here are a few upcoming events to help you stay connected.
The E3 Sunday School class continues next Sunday, December 26th, with the first segment of Giving the Exchange. Giving the Exchange is a six-week class specifically designed to take believers from their current friendships with unbelievers to the point of doing a Bible study together with them. Don't miss Giving the Exchange, a six-week class beginning on December 26th at 9:45 a.m. in room 403. There are no midweek gatherings planned for the next 2 weeks. Instead of gathering on December 22nd and December 29th, we encourage you to spend extra time over the holidays developing relationships with your neighbors and family and sharing the gospel with them.
This year, we will be having an online Christmas Eve experience. This will include music, videos, a kids' lesson, and a message themed around our Savior's birth. You will be able to watch on our FBC Wixom Facebook page and on our website at fbcwixom.org. This is sure to be an encouragement to friends and family this Christmas season. The current community group session concludes tonight at 6 p.m. If you have not yet connected with a group, please consider joining one before February when they start back up. You will be encouraged and blessed as we explore God's Word in a deeper and more personal setting each Sunday evening. You can find more info at fbcwixom.org/community-groups.
Giving is one of the many ways we have to worship the Lord. If you'd like to give financially, you can utilize the giving box in the back of the auditorium, or you can give online at fbcwixom.org and click on the tab at the top of the page.
If this is your first time at FBC, we would love to connect with you. If you'd like more info about FBC, prayer, or to learn how you can get involved, you can fill out our online connections card at fbcwixom.org/connect. Also, make sure to stop by the Welcome Center for a special gift on your way out after the service. Once again, thank you for joining us for worship today. Now we invite you to worship the Lord through song as we prepare to hear from God's Word this morning.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you this morning. If you are a guest, a special welcome to you today. We're so glad to have you here with us this morning. If you've never been to First Baptist Church of Wixom before, you might not realize that the message that we are constantly sharing with one another is that Jesus has brought the answer to the world's problems. Jesus has brought the answer to the world's questions. That joy to the world that we just sang is available for everybody, but it's only available through Jesus Christ. And we're excited this morning to be able to lift him up and worship him together as we celebrate this Christmas season. So it brings us joy that you're here with us and that we've gathered together this morning for that purpose. And we want you to feel welcome. A couple of announcements briefly before we pray. There is a building committee meeting today. If you're part of that group, they're meeting in the cafe. That will be immediately after the morning service today, around 11:45 or 12 o'clock. We'll be meeting in the cafe. And then, if you or someone you know is having a hard time getting Christmas gifts for your children, maybe there's a financial crisis or something else that's made that difficult. Some Christmas gifts have been donated, and they're back in the hallway here by the church office. And so parents only, not kids, but parents only, if you're interested in checking those out, we encourage you to just make yourself available to those things. Those are there for you. Please take whatever you need. And we're grateful for the kind-hearted nature of folks that have donated those things for you. Again, welcome. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our time together this morning. Father, we're so grateful that we can be here together as your people to celebrate the birth of your Son. We remember today that this is what Christmas is all about. That joy is not centered on family or food or things or experiences. That joy that we sing about is centered on Jesus Christ. And this morning, we are excited to be gathered together for the purpose of elevating him. And so I pray that you'd help us to do that. Help us to relax and enjoy the music, but help us to think on Jesus. And Lord, for those that may not know you as Savior, that they would consider Jesus today, the offer of salvation and forgiveness that he gives. We thank you that we can talk about that message freely, that we can celebrate that message this morning, and that we can sing joy to the world. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all you've done for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It all began here in darkness, stuck in our brokenness, wandering, directionless, in need of a grace that we knew nothing about. It's not much of a beginning, but this is where we were. Fast forward to a starry night in Bethlehem. You see, while we were lost in darkness, God was consumed by love. A love that led him to do the unimaginable. A love that would cost him his Son. That night, the heart of Christmas began beating with a rhythm that would change the world. Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior, was born. Grace in a manger, hope had overcome hopelessness, mercy had triumphed over brokenness, love had overpowered the darkness, and true joy was finally here. God became flesh and dwelt among us. Who would have ever dreamed that the mighty God of the universe would come to us this way? But that was his plan. To save the world.
On a starlit hillside, shepherds watch their sheep. Slowly David said he drifted off to sleep. But in this little town of no great renown, the Lord had a promise to keep. Prophets had foretold a mighty king would come, long-awaited ruler, God's anointed one. But the sovereign of all is helpless and small, as God gave the world his own son. And who would have dreamed or ever foreseen that we could hold God in our hands? The giver of life is born in the night, revealing God's glorious plan. you save the world.
Truth. Let's stand together again as we sing out, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." Let's worship the Lord together.
It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious sorrow.
Faithful, one of the greatest Christmas carols ever written. You've probably heard it hundreds of times, but there is a word in the song that's a bit out of place, and it's right in the title. O come, all ye faithful. You see, Jesus didn't come for the faithful. He came not for the faithful, but for the faithless, the unfaithful. He came not for the righteous, but for the sinners. Jesus said that the healthy don't need a doctor, the sick do. He came for the hurting. He came for the doubters. He came for those who have written God off and want nothing to do with Him. He came for one reason, so that we, the faithless, could be made faithful, not by our own righteousness, but by His righteousness. No matter what you've done or what you've been through, Jesus came for you. So come, come all ye faithless and unfaithful, and He will make you joyful and triumphant. Christ is in our midst, right here, right now. So come.
Wonderful truth, and I'm so glad that Christ doesn't come for those who are good or who does enough or who seem super religious. He comes for the unfaithful ones, and I would definitely raise my hand. I'm so glad that he's coming for the unfaithful, that he came for me, that he died for me. And we get the privilege to worship him in spirit and truth this morning and sing out, even as the angels did that night, glory to the newborn King. He came for a reason, not just to be born, but to die on the cross for our sins and to raise himself from the dead, and that we have a glorious Savior through him. Let's stand together as we continue to worship this morning. Angels from the realms of glory.
Angels from the realms of glory.
continue singing this morning as we worship the Lord through song, Joy Has Dawned Upon the World. Singing this morning, emphasizing that silent night. Think about it. God became flesh and dwelt among us on a silent night thousands of years ago. And he came for that one purpose, to be born of the Virgin Mary, to live a perfect and sinless life so that he could one day go to the cross and die on the cross for our sins. And I'm so thankful that the story doesn't stop right there. He's not just a good person who did a good thing. He is God in the flesh. He is Emmanuel. And he rose from the dead. And he lives today as our Savior. You can remain seated. We're going to sing Silent Night, Holy Night.
Holy infant,
what child is this?
What child is this who lays to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds the baby, the Son of Man.
It began with a light, a radiant star, an emblem of hope, pointing to a promise of Emmanuel clothed in dawn, whose light would encompass and illuminate the earth. Behold, though the night is long, the shadows retreat, the darkness surrenders, and the brilliance of His glory, the splendor of His majesty, and the might of His salvation. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus is His name. The Light of Christmas.
In the wintry sky, joy of
Music. Sing hallelujah for the light of the world. If you have your Bibles and you can go to Luke chapter 2, I invite you to go there for just a moment. Luke chapter 2 this morning. This is the most well-known passage of Scripture that talks about the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus Christ. And I want to look at it for a minute together this morning. But before we do that, just a quick question. You ever try to prepare something and you pour your energy and your thought and your time into it and it is just an utter disaster? What you might call a fail or a nailed it kind of situation, you know, where you tried, you knew where you were headed, it just didn't work out. Let me just give you a couple of examples here maybe that you can relate to. There's some cupcakes that didn't quite turn out. The second one didn't quite turn out like the first. The gingerbread house, some of you, I heard there was a Christmas party last Sunday night and some of them looked like that. How about this one? You got to maybe look closely, but oh, oh, oh is not usually what that guy's saying. It's usually the other way around. Or how about these reindeer that look conspicuously like a different creature, like maybe an Easter bunny? I think they didn't splurge on the molds for those. How about these four Christmas ornaments? You love those? It's going to take you guys a while, honestly. Wait a minute. One, two, three, that's not four. Or this little Christmas thought. Not the message. Not the message you want at Christmas. Here's the truth this morning. There's a lot of people who are working really, really hard at Christmas joy. They know it's supposed to be a happy time of year, and they know that there's a theme of joy that gets talked about. And Christmas to young children who are naive and have not yet experienced the difficulties of life, the gifts bring them a temporary sense of joy. But isn't it true that a lot of people are failing at joy? In fact, ironically, this time of year for many people is just flat out depressing. There's no joy. There's anger, there's bitterness, there's questions of God, there's questions of why is our world such a mess, and there's stress, not joy. So I want to just challenge you with this idea this morning that Jesus came to bring joy. Did you know that? He came to bring joy. He came to solve the problem of a lack of joy. What sin does in humanity, it takes away the joy. John Piper gives this example of joy, or this definition. It's a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as He causes us to see the beauty of Jesus in His Word and in His works. Now, if you agree with that definition of joy, then it's pretty logical why the world has such a problem, right? Is the average person in the world focused on Jesus at Christmas? No. And yet we wonder, why no joy? What's the problem? Well, we're looking for it in all the wrong places. We look for it in selfish endeavors. If I could just have my own way, I'd be happy. Or that next raise or promotion, if I could just reach that spot, I think I'd be happy. Or maybe if I had financial security, or if I had my health, or if I had a different or better family, I'd be happy. And yet, lasting joy is only found in Jesus Christ. In fact, Scripture, I don't know if you know this, in Galatians chapter 5, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, it talks about what comes out of a life that has Jesus. It's known as the list of the fruit of the Spirit. And the first thing that comes out is love, and the second thing that comes out is what? Joy. And yet a lot of Christians say they have joy, they just haven't told their face yet, you know? I mean, you just can't tell by looking, is there joy there or not? See, without Jesus, you cannot have true and lasting joy. You'll fail at the endeavor of joy if you're looking for it in places other than Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2, I asked you to turn there. This passage of Scripture is really a well-known depiction of the Christmas story. Listen to the joy in this passage. It's Luke chapter 2, starting in verse number 8. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field." If you're not familiar with the Christmas story, you may have always wondered, what's the deal with shepherds? This is it. The shepherds were abiding in the field. They were spending the night with their flock in verse 9. "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were very afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of," what does it say? "Great joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it come to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." This is our desire this morning. Our desire this morning is that you would walk out of this room and say, praise God for the things we've heard and the things we've seen that Jesus did. The message of the music this morning is that Jesus, he not only came as a baby, but he came for a purpose. And that purpose was to die on a cross for your sin and for mine. You say, that doesn't sound like a very joyful story. That doesn't sound like a joyful ending. Well, remember, he didn't stay on the cross. He didn't stay in the grave. He rose from the dead. He lives forevermore. And he promises eternal life to those who put their faith in him. It is good news. It is the story of great joy. I want to talk about it for just a minute and just kind of pull out four quick truths out of this passage to send home with you today. Number one, great joy combats fear. You can combat fear with joy. In verse number 9, these shepherds says they were afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Now they were afraid. Every time you see somebody in the presence of an angel in Scripture, they're afraid. Angels must be pretty frightening creatures to be face to face with. These guys were afraid. For you and I this morning, it's not the presence of angels, but there's probably something. Can you think of something in your life that has a tendency to bring fear? Let me suggest just a couple of things. People are afraid of the coronavirus, COVID-19. People are afraid of civil unrest, political corruption, nuclear war, Russia, China, economic collapse. The question is this: will you focus on those things and allow those things to bring fear, or will you listen to the message of great joy? You can combat fear with the joy of Jesus. You say, I don't know if it's that simple. Is it that simple? Is it just a matter of focus? Well, let me remind you of a guy in the Old Testament who had everything that could go wrong. His name was Job. Everything went wrong. He lost everything. All of his children died in a tragic accident. All of his money, all of his flocks, all gone. Here's what Job said. The Lord gave, the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will worship, not worry. I will focus on God, not my problems. You say, is that possible? Did anybody else do that in Scripture? Let me tell you about another guy in the Old Testament. His name was Daniel. You want to talk about things going wrong? Things were going wrong for Daniel. He was part of a group of princes that were ruling, and all of the other princes had it out for Daniel, so they decided, let's kill him, but let's kill him in a diplomatic way. We're going to create a law that makes him and his worship illegal. And when he violates this law, we'll throw him into a lion's den. He'll be gone. It'll be awesome. Can you imagine being in that situation? Like everybody, all of your peers want you dead. I mean, you might feel that way at work sometimes, but it's probably not really true. For Daniel, it was true. They wanted him dead. You know what he did? He went back, it says, and he worshiped. He prayed. He focused on his God, not his problems. This happens all throughout Scripture. In Acts chapter 4, we read about the apostles. These guys were fishermen, kind of farmer kind of type guys, not really highly educated guys. And they were out preaching the word of God. They were preaching the name of Jesus with power. And they were being threatened with their lives for their position on Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says, now when the leaders, the authorities, saw the boldness of Peter and John, the apostles, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with who? They'd been with Jesus. You see, when we're with Jesus, there's courage. Fear is secondary. Worship is primary. That's all throughout Scripture. And here's what the angels were saying to the shepherds. Hey, you don't have to be afraid. Jesus is here. You don't have to be afraid. God solved the sin problem. It's over. The Savior is here. That's number one. Number two, receive the joy of Jesus. Look at what he says. They say in verse 10, we've brought you good tidings of great joy. I'm not a Greek scholar, but the original language that this was written in was Greek. And it's kind of interesting. It basically says, if I was going to interpret it, that they evangelized the shepherd with the evangel. Or, that doesn't make good English, so they gospelized the shepherds with the gospel. I mean, here's what the Greek literally says. Good news. We've brought you good news. It's a little redundant, but it gets the point across, doesn't it? Jesus is the good news. He is what you've been looking for. And so the challenge from the angels is, hey, have you received him yet? Have you come to the point in your life where you're like, you know what? I need Jesus. I need somebody to solve the sin problem. I've been trying and I've been failing. I need help. You see, Jesus came to save you. The world is a mess. I mean, just watch the news. You'll know the world's a mess. But the truth is, each of us as individuals is also a mess, right? I'm a mess. You're a mess. Without God intervening, without Jesus Christ and his holiness, I'm completely helpless. In fact, the Bible tells us very, very clearly that God is absolutely holy. And you're not. I'm not. None of us can even come close to attaining the holiness of God. And that's bad news because he's so holy, he can't have me in his presence. There's a distance. There's a disconnect. People sometimes say, I feel like God's not even present in my life. Bingo. He's holy. You're not. There's a disconnect. Secondly, he's just. He always gets things right. And here's what he said in his word for thousands of years. When you sin, you die. It's bad news. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Somebody has to die for sin. Somebody has to. And yet, here's the amazing thing. Jesus came to do it. He lived a perfectly holy life to satisfy God's holiness. And he died on the cross to satisfy God's justice. For God so loved the world, John 3:16 says, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a gift! Romans 6:23, but the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you received that gift? You know what you have to do to receive a gift, right? Like if I was going to give my sweet wife a gift this morning and I handed it out, what's the only thing she has to do? Just take it. It's freely offered, but you got to do something. You got to put your hands out and take that free gift. Have you done that? The message of Christmas is to receive the joy of Jesus. Thirdly, if you've received the joy of Jesus, are you willing to share the joy of Jesus? Share the joy of Jesus. That's what the angels were doing, right? They were sharing with the shepherds. Hey, good news. I brought you good news. And this is really the call of every believer to share the gospel. This is what the shepherds were doing. Remember what it said? That as soon as they saw the baby in the manger, what did they do? They went and told everybody. Hey, the Savior's here. The Messiah is here. Good news should be shared. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, if you had the cure for cancer, wouldn't you share it? I would think we would. What if your employer was offering people starting wages at $100 an hour? Would you tell anybody? I would. Right? Hey, you should come work for me. This is a great place to get your foot in the door. Good news is meant to be shared. If there was a Savior that was born to take care of the sin problem, wouldn't you share it? That's what we should do. That believers should share the joy of Jesus. We're commanded to do this in the Great Commission. This morning in the announcement video, you heard a little blurb for a class that's starting next Sunday morning at 9:45 called Giving the Exchange. The whole idea of giving the exchange is your ability to share the good news of Jesus. And yet, just as an encouragement, not as a rebuke, some of us still say, I'm not great at it, but you know what? It is what it is. We're to share the joy of Jesus. Can you imagine if the shepherds did that? Hey, the Savior's there. Awesome. I'm not really great at, I'm not kind of an extrovert, so I think I'll go back to the sheep, right? No, they were so full of joy that they couldn't help themselves. They told everybody, did you see the Messiah? He's right there. Jesus has come. Share his joy. Jesus himself in John chapter 15 was explaining to the disciples what it looks like to be part of the family of God. And he was telling them, listen, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will have this great power and this lasting joy that will just flow out of your life. And then he says in verse 11, I've told you this that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. What was Jesus saying? He says, listen, the good news of salvation brings joy, not just to the people who receive it, but to the people who give it. If you've ever led a loved one to saving faith in Jesus, you know what I mean. There is great joy in sharing Jesus. But lastly, can I just encourage you to celebrate the joy of Jesus? Celebrate the joy of Jesus. Look at verse number 20. And the shepherds returned, celebrating Jesus, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. What are your celebration plans this Christmas? Let me just remind you that the shepherds were not glorifying and praising God for freedom and security. They were not glorifying and praising God for economic stability. They were not glorifying and praising God for the eradication of some crazy virus. They were not glorifying and praising God for family or for just what they always wanted under the tree. That's not what they were glorifying and praising God for. They were glorifying and praising God for Jesus, the joy that Jesus brings. You see, all these other things don't bring lasting joy. Have you ever gotten a present you always wanted, and then maybe a year or two later, you don't even know where it's at, can't even find it? It didn't bring lasting joy. But Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's praise God together for Jesus. You see, unfortunately, a lot of people, and this happens so often in church, in Christianity, there's a lot of us here today who we say, I'm a follower of Jesus. I put my faith in Jesus. I'm on my way to heaven. My sins are forgiven. But I don't get very excited about Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about, Brad. What joy. I mean, that's nice. It's a nice sentiment. It's happy, okay? We don't have to go to hell. We can live in heaven forever with God. That's nice. But the joy, it's really not there for me. It's because we're celebrating the wrong things. Here's what we learn in this passage, that we should be celebrating Jesus. Elevating Jesus, thinking about Jesus, not our experiences, not bigger and better things, not eliminating stress, not masking the problems of life with my addictions, but celebrating Jesus, his salvation, his presence, his joy, his worship, his people, his service. You see, we say this all the time. Here's what we wish people when we greet them this time of year. What do we say? Merry Christmas. What does that mean? May your Christmas be full of joy, right? Happy New Year. May your New Year be full of what? Joy, right? I mean, it would be appropriate. It'd be weird, but it'd be appropriate if we just said to people all year long, hey, happy life, right? Or joyful life, merry life. Not just Christmas, but all of the time. May you be happy and may you be merry. That's the message that the angels had for the shepherds. This isn't a one-day party or a one-week party or a one-month party. This changes everything. For all eternity, it changes everything. I've brought you good tidings of great joy for all people. So the question for us, the challenge for us is, how are you going to do the joy? How are you going to seek joy? And will it be a Christmas fail, a nailed it situation? If you seek joy in Jesus, his joy is lasting. You remember what he said? Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Come to Jesus. Lay your burdens at Jesus' feet. We think about this idea of combating fear with the joy of Jesus. What fear, if you just want to make this super simple today, what do I take away? What fear can you give to Jesus today? You got one? What bothers you? What are you worried about? What fear can you give to Jesus? Can I just give you some practical advice? Turn off the news. Maybe disconnect from social media for a week. You will find your joy increasing. You know why? Get your eyes off of junk and gives you time to spend with Jesus. I'm telling you, I'm absolutely serious about it. Some of you need to go on a serious fast, because it's sucking the joy right out of your life. And you don't even realize it. We just think this is the way it is. The world's in chaos. I have to be up to speed on the chaos. No, what you need to be is with Jesus, right? Remember what he said, abide in me and let my words abide in you. How about replacing worry with prayer? The first week of the new year, we're going to have a special week with some special activities each day that focus on the idea of prayer. Get our eyes off of the junk and get our eyes back on Jesus. Secondly, receive the joy of Jesus. If you've not put your faith in Jesus Christ, can I just remind you what he said? He said this, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You might not think that matters to you today. Someday it's going to matter. Someday you're going to say, I wish I had listened to the message of Jesus. I wish I would consider Jesus. I wish I would have put my faith in Jesus Christ. Christmas is a great time to receive the gift of salvation. If you are saved, share the gift. Share it with somebody this Christmas season. And then lastly, celebrate it. Worship Jesus. Actually worship Jesus this Christmas. I'm not talking about doing an obligatory reading of Luke 2 before you open presents. Or whatever. That's nice. But I'm talking about actually worshiping. I'm talking about turning everything off. Maybe putting on some good sacred Christmas music and just focusing on Jesus for an hour or two. And worshiping Jesus for the joy that he brings. Spend some time celebrating your salvation this Christmas season. What good news the angels brought to the shepherds that night. Good news. There's good news for all mankind. Lord, help us to celebrate you appropriately this Christmas. Thank you for the good news. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for solving the sin problem. Lord, thank you for giving us so many things that we can worship you for today. Help us as we conclude our celebration, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
From high above us, God sees. From far beyond us, God hears. From his eternal, distant home, God loves. He sees all people in all places. And it's easy for us to imagine that he does so from this perspective. High. Beyond, distant. But then, Christmas. It appears without earthly fanfare or celebration. The cry of this child screams that the same God that is above and beyond and distant has not only come close to us, but that he is indeed with us. So what if the name Emmanuel means what it means. Today, now, with us, the manger proclaims that the very presence of God is now present with us, and the mundane and the uncertainty and the mystery that lies beyond our understanding or explanation. God himself is with us in our joy and happiness. He's with us in our sadness and brokenness. He celebrates in the light with us, and he holds us in the dark with faithful and secure arms. So what if the name Emmanuel means what it means? Christmas not only begs that we ask the question, but also provides the answer that our hearts have been longing for all along. Can this possibly be? Yes, it can. And it is. God with us, Emmanuel, and he's closer than our wildest dreams could ever imagine. Let the truth that there is a Savior who knows and cares for you bring you comfort, peace, and true joy this Christmas season.
I trust your name.
from the mountain's edge to the valley low, when the river's wide and the sea billows roll, from your perfect presence I cannot escape. You're ever with me, I trust your name.
Emmanuel, God with us, in day or darkness, Lord, you so strong in you.
You're the purest joy in the shadows deep, so my soul will sing when I find no melody. From your perfect presence I cannot escape. You're ever with me, I trust your name.
Lord, you are here, Emmanuel, God with us. I need Jesus, so draw me
Thank you for watching this video of one of our recent services. It's a pleasure for us to have you join us from a distance and join our church in a time of worship around the Word of God. The most important message that we can tell you is that God loves you. And He loves you so much that He gave Jesus Christ as payment for your sins. And the Bible says that all that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved.
We want you to know that message, that true life is found in Jesus Christ. An eternal life. The opportunity to live with God forever in heaven, in spite of our sinfulness. True life is only found in Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Would you be willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to pray something like this? Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know there's nothing I can do about my sinfulness. I don't want to pay for my own sin, and I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want His death on the cross to pay for my sins. I want to repent from doing things my own way and make Jesus Lord of my life. Would you be willing to pray something like that and put your faith in Jesus Christ? If so, we want to help you as you start your spiritual journey with Jesus Christ. God loves you. Our church loves you. We're glad that you could watch this message today. God bless.